What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of our Garage Media Junkies. This is episode 42.
Oh, 42.
Can you believe we got 8 more to go before we are halfway to Hugo and Mai's goal? As always, I'm one of your hosts, Chris Espinoza, and with me sitting across the table is...
Mr. Hugo fucking Mesa.
Oh, I like it. That's what the F stands for in your name.
Yeah, except because I have a F in my name.
It's an HFG.
And that would be awesome. Maybe I should do that with one of my kids.
Logan fucking Mesa.
That sounds all badass.
What was it? I guess, was it LFM?
LFM?
That would be his initials.
Yeah. Or you like LMFAO. Why not? We're there. Thank you guys for listening again. Today we have a lighter episode, for most of the time.
Yeah.
Because the last one, I was editing and it's just how the thing is evolving, even in the news.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're going to go into a more sweet spot.
Yeah.
As everybody knows, this weekend Netflix throw all the second season of Stranger Things. We're not going to spoil anything.
Some of us, really haven't watched.
Yeah, much in depth. Uh-huh. Yeah,
thanks, Caroline.
I watched until...
the last episode.
Not the last episode, because we're watching the last
episode. That's what I'm saying. You watched until the last episode. Yeah, yeah, you still got it.
But I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to hint anything, hopefully.
Hopefully, he says.
No, I'm not going to ruin Chris' experience. So we're just going to go a little bit on sort of in between kind of thing. The first season, nobody really cared that much until suddenly it just explodes.
Right, because, I don't remember the hype for it.
I don't even know there was coming something called Stranger Things.
It wasn't until it was already out and then it was recommended by everybody on Facebook, and then it just kind of blew up and it was on all these news feeds that everybody should be watching this.
Yeah.
That's how my attention was brought to it all those years ago. Yeah. What was that last? No, it was 2 years ago.
Holy shit, really?
I think so, because that was the first... Again, Hugo and I didn't quite know each other, because...
Oh, right. It was a couple of weeks after...
Game of Thrones, we started really watching it all together, group. It was a Battle of the Bastards season.
Right. Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it's been a while. So, everybody's so excited. But we're going to talk a little bit about that, what we like, why we think it's a success, and why I think the second one is going to be the same well received.
Right now, Hugo has his own opinions. I mean, he's just told me bare minimum stuff. So we'll touch into it, we'll talk about...
I'm not going to really throw anything besides going around with really, really... how to put it? That's the scary part of Vinch, when you watch the whole thing real fast. Because also recently I've been watching The Deuce on HBO. And the HBO, I think that they do it more in a smart way. They just throw it at the same time as TV, so it's every week and you wait. And, that gives you way more time to think about what you watch.
Yeah.
Than just going
one after the other.
So even though I already watch all those episodes, I'm going to go back and revisit.
So so on the topic of Netflix, I just always have, I know we've talked about it, but how do you feel about Netflix's formula of releasing all of its content at once on one day for your viewing pleasure?
I think the difference between Netflix and something like HBO, because HBO jumped to the party kind of late. Until recently, they have their streaming service.
Yeah.
So I remember they have HBO Go, but you still need to pay.
You would still have to pay your cable bill on top of your premium cable channels.
I thought it was kind of weird. Your HBO, just throw your streaming service and everybody's going to hook up.
Right.
Period. They have great content too. But Netflix already has been on track. And it's almost like Marvel creating his... not like his, cinematic universe. Of course not, but... his amount of original content, that's what they call it, right? And supposedly next year it's going to get even bigger. They have the money.
But that's what was concerning was they're saying that Netflix was all in debt because everybody's sharing their account numbers and Netflix just doesn't have the money.
You know how much money they're putting in this series? Like, you can tell by the quality of the content. Like,
yeah, they're putting tons of money in there.
So I would just hate. I don't think it's in this at all.
But the thing with Netflix's original content is it can kind of double down with it doesn't need to, quote unquote, pay for licensing. Those they never go. So that's money that Netflix gets to kind of keep in their pocket.
Yeah, that's and I think what I was trying to go with the point with HBO, it's Netflix, their database of Netflix, I can't imagine. All right. Okay, we're going to wait a little bit, guys. That was a little...
A little tiny earthquake.
Let's keep going.
We're going to pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm panicky a little bit just based on the recent things that happened down in Mexico City. So every time it's killing. Yeah, it's a little one. I can still feel it. All right. Shit, it's not going away. Okay, I think now it's
I think it stopped.
Okay.
Well, not all it stops for episode 42.
Anyways, coming back to my point, their database probably is Netflix. Like, shut your mouth and don't talk about my database.
Right, yeah.
Because those guys, like, the amount of information they have is nuts, probably, at this point.
There's so much stuff.
Their advantage of other services is basically they know what you want to watch, period.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Because HBO never... says, like, based on your viewing habits, here's what you would like. It's always just kind of like, hey, know what you want to watch and then watch it.
Yeah, this is what I have to offer.
Yeah.
Watch it. If you don't like
it's not as smart or intuitive. Yeah, I will agree on that one, that Netflix definitely feeds my addiction of binge watching things. I mean, I know after, let's say you have the Netflix series and HBO series are typically the same kind of run of about 13 episodes, 10 to 13 episodes for their series. So... I mean, technically, after like 3 months, it doesn't even matter. After the first 3 months after release, HBO will have released its entire series or season, and Netflix would have released its entire season. So really, this conversation only really matters for the first 13 weeks, whether or not, you know, it releases it all at once or together. But for your own personal viewing pleasure, what do you prefer? Just once a week? Or all 13 at once.
I think it's more healthy just to watch one every weekend. Really, but I think it doesn't matter. I think behind once, like in pre-production, all these things are already sorted out. Like I bet on Netflix, they create the series thinking on people is going to binge this.
Yeah.
That's how it's... created and produced and executed.
That's literally your platform is binging.
Yeah, so because you can tell a little bit if you make an effort and focus and try to understand how things develop and storylines and everything. Yeah, I think I will say HBO planned to release once a week.
Right, yeah,
like
they're
even
not.
The timing with exactly the story ends and everything. If you start analyzing all this stuff, it kind of match. Like if it have sense... how every episode of Stranger Things finishes on that specific plot line.
Really?
It's almost like it's hooked to... Like, for example, with The Deuce, it doesn't bother me when it ends. Like, oh, I can wait.
Yeah.
But with Stranger Things, it's like, no, I need to keep watching the next one.
So there is some psychology.
Yeah.
However, I think when you really look at it, the psychology kind of backfires on Netflix a little bit because you get so hyped and so excited for these series. It comes out. You shove it all in your eye holes as fast as you can.
I want more.
And then, yeah, because you want more. And then you're done within a day or two. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then you don't talk about it anymore. Or you might talk about it. Or if your friend watches it a few months later, you might talk about it. Versus this... I guess cultural phenomena with that, like Game of Thrones, where I mean, we spent 8 weeks, 9 weeks talking about it, versus where we're only gonna have one for Stranger Things because we can just pound that out real quick.
I think once they start doing more original content, it feels like a natural step for Netflix. I don't think they can keep as much as the resources, like how many resources they have and everything. I don't think they can keep a pace of keep throwing at you these all original content.
Or what's happening, just like with TV shows, the reason why you have all these different shows on their channel, you can only have so many slots. for the fall, for the spring, for the summer.
Right.
You only have so many slots for TV shows before the season ends, they take a break, and something else fills its slot.
Yeah.
With Netflix, there's no slots to fill. And with TV shows, if something's not great, it gets canceled, and it happens all the time. Whereas Netflix, I feel like 9 out of 10 shows that they come out with are hits, and people want more, lots more. So what's happening is every season that they come out with new stuff, oh, crap. All of them were successful. Now we need to make seasons 2s. It's not like they can drop like 3 or 4 of them,
right.
Focus on the 6 that were great,
yes,
and then move to the next. So there's there's too much quality.
Yeah.
And we keep demanding more and more.
Well, I mean, that's their business model.
Yeah.
I mean, they create it pretty much. They can't complain about it. But I think, I think they're really smart because... couple like 2 years ago I think I started watching something like House of Cards, and then even before Stranger Things, stuff like that, they were just tasting the waters, like how it will work.
Yeah.
And suddenly I bet that they have for next year they have their calendar already planned.
Right.
I think they're catching up with filling those holes slowly.
Yeah, no, and there's not even that many holes to fill because so many of their shows are,
and we're not counting the movies too. We're just talking about the series.
Yeah.
Like the new Will Smith, I saw their second trailer. Now I'm a little bit hooked. Like, oh, okay, I think I want to watch it now. Seems interesting. So I think they're slowly filling those holes to have this steady pace of
content.
You know, you finish this one, here go, next manga, this is the next one. And
the crazy thing is Netflix doesn't even want to step on its own toes with releasing content. Like, I mean, think about it. If most shows in America, when it starts a season, most seasons and series will all start at the same time. You know, the season premiere of this show is at 8. The season premiere of the next show is at 9. And the season premiere of our final lineup is at 10.
Yeah.
They'll also at the same day, because what they want is for you to stick around for 3 hours and watch their network. Netflix, you don't see like Daredevil coming out the same day as like House of Cards.
They have their own special spot.
Right, so you don't even have like seasons in which to watch things.
Yeah.
They really kind of have to plan it out. Like, okay, we're going to put out Stranger Things.
Yeah.
We're going to give everybody 3 weeks before we drop our next season of whatever else came out, because they want to make sure everybody had time to enjoy it all.
And also they give them the time to actually work on the series properly to release it to next year.
You have like 6 extra months to work on the project.
But I think, so wrapping up all these like thoughts that we throw right now, I think that the show, they finally give him the confirmed theory that Netflix have about how people consume these media. It was a Stranger Things, I think. It was that like clear moment, like ding, like okay, we can make this work, like this idea, because again, nobody expected. It was almost like a mouth word kind of thing, and then that's just after like the week or week and a half of the release, everybody just jumped in like crazy.
Right, because I mean, when you give an elevator pitch for Stranger Things, it's like an 80s camp horror B movie that your parents watched and tried to get you to watch. But I mean, like, kind of like in the vein of like the Goonies. The Goonies is, I mean, by all means, not a terribly great movie. It's a cult classic because everybody, when they were kids, watched it and loved everything about it.
Yeah.
Even though it's really campy and it's not that well made and the story's pretty thin, you enjoy it for what it is. And you're like, that was awesome.
Right.
That's the magic of those 80s movies. They weren't on the cusp of any kind of computer graphics.
Right.
They were still in a bunch of like slightly racist stereotypical tropes. But when you pitch Stranger Things, you're kind of tapping into this nostalgia vein where everybody's nostalgic, but they're nostalgic over different things. And I felt like Stranger Things hit this very unique stride where
it wasn't forced. It wasn't like, oh, we're gonna put all these nostalgic elements to make a success.
Right.
Movie. Like these guys actually, you can tell that they grew up with all this influence.
Right, around. And to me, they hit that feeling of living in the 80s. Not that I lived terribly long through the 80s. Right, I was like 4 or 5 years in it. So I was like 5 years old when we flipped over to the 90s. But, even watching it, one of my big gripes with area, or I guess like period pieces, but kind of set in the 80s or the 70s or even the 90s is sometimes you can kind of pick out that that was something forced or stylized to be like that versus, no, that's literally a shirt from the 80s. Those are literally old Coke cans that they bought off the internet because that's what people were like, they held on to.
Price.
Right, but really. To keep it authentic. And I was never sucked out of Stranger Things, but they never had to reference cultural like pop icons. Like if you think of like The Wedding Singer, with Adam Sandler, there's a lot of like old 80s commercials in there just to remind you that you're in the 80s and the old Tide. I never felt that way with Stranger Things.
It was really clever the way they do it, like because sometimes there will be a scene in a room of one of the kids.
Yeah.
And at first you didn't notice, but then like, oh, it's a Jaws poster there.
Yeah.
But it's not like in your face, like, oh, hello. Right. 80s right here, you know. Like.
Yeah, like with Wedding Singer, they're like, oh my God, they're watching Dallas. And he's like, I think somebody just shot JR. And it's just like these weird moments in 80s. It never references it without it feeling authentically like presented. And nobody in the 80s was just like, boom, 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it feels like that. Like it's a movie, but also a commercial. Yeah. All these memorabilia for that time.
Right, yeah. But this, it hits that right stride. I say stride because it's this momentum that moves forward and it feels real and it lends itself to the story really beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, also these guys, you can tell them cinematically speaking, like on a technical level, they know what they're doing. Mm. Even though sometimes I feel they rip off scenes of movies. But one thing is try to rip off, and one thing is do it right. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So what is it? Mimicry or no? What's a better word for copying? It's like
adopting,
the biggest.
No.
It's like something is the greatest form of flattering
or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's always. I think it was. Oh dang it.
Yeah. Tip of my tongue, man.
Apple guy. He'd die.
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs is the one that says it like. Copying is the best way of like
flattering, yeah.
Or like, you know, like the art is like that, you just copy.
Yeah.
And try to do it better or something like that.
Yeah. Either way, so I mean they're taking those scenes and they're making it their own, but it's to get a reaction out of you that also hits a nostalgic point, but serves the story. I never feel like anything's forced or like, oh man, they're totally ETing it right now just to give an ET reference.
Even the monster is quite unique, you know. And you may think after all these years of cinema story, it's hard to come up with something original.
I will say this about season one is that, what do we even call it? We just called it the monster.
Demogorgon.
What is it called?
Demogorgon or whatever.
Wow. When did they call it that?
It was like the game.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
they
playing the game?
You're right. Man, I need to go watch like a nice like recap.
That's the reason I tell you, like sometimes you watch it like so fast, but you can't digest all the data.
Yeah. And so it flies by. So they fight this monster and it's that big mouth flower type looking monster.
Yeah, it's a weird monster.
But I've never seen a movie monster like that. And the reason I really liked it though is because it was humanoid in shape. But you could tell it wasn't human.
It almost reminds me that, like, the hand-eyed monster of Guillermo del Toro, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
You ever see it?
Yes,
right?
We did. Recently. Last week, nice. We saw it. I showed Caroline.
Real fast, what you thought?
I loved it. Okay. Oh, my gosh. I love the creatures. But that's his style, though. And I've noticed that even with Hellboy and stuff, like, he relies heavily on, if I can make it, it's going in the movie, and then I'll only just slightly rely on CGI.
Yeah. So here's kind of like the same thing. That sort of style of humanoid body with these weird shapes.
Because I think to me, if you have this creature, of course I'm going to be scared of it. But if it's like, you know, like a six-limbed thing and it has giant like teeth and...
Kind of like John Carpenter monster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
those are great, but...
I wouldn't be afraid of it as much as like a humanoid thing that kind of is resembling us. But there's something just slightly off about it that you're like... Yeah. Okay, that's creepy.
This is one of those things like, oh, that looks familiar, and then like, oh shit.
It's kind of like if you leave your house the way you always have it, and then you come back and something's not where you put it, and you live alone. No. It's that that feeling of unease where you have this familiarity with it,
right?
But something's not right, and your brain's trying to put that together, and you're like freaking, like it gives you goosebumps when you think about like a scenario like that. That's what this monster reminds me of.
I don't want to come back in my house now.
Right?
No, can we stay tonight?
I want the lights on. But so that's what I really want to give props. Now, I felt like, what were your big takeaways? Like, if you had to put like a negative point on season one, what would your biggest gripe would it be?
I mean, it will be that they rely too much on that same thing that we praise, but at the same time, it's like double-edged sword. Mm. Like, they execute some things and they copy, obviously, from... I mean, they're not shy about it. They say that out loud. We inspire for all these movies and stuff. But at some points, there are some scenes like, oh, dude, that looks almost exactly to this scene in this movie. You know, like it's almost like a copy paste.
Yeah.
That will be something that is not like bother me, but at some points for me, instead of thinking on the story on this particular series, then you get distracted thinking about like, oh, that looks really almost the same as this other movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like take me off of...
It took you out of the story,
a little bit, yeah, sometimes. Mm.
But again, if you're not a big movie buff like Hugo is, you wouldn't catch it. Or, I mean, even if you are a big fan of 80s movies, it wouldn't pull you out as much. But
it's not as bad, but it was just like these little seconds that you... But again, that's the thing I was talking with my wife last night. It's like, gosh, I can't see movies or TV series as I used to. It's like the more I try to learn about cinema and photography and stuff like that, suddenly you start seeing things that you normally don't do it. Or the normal average person goes to see this content, doesn't watch it.
Right.
And it kind of bugs me a little bit. Instead of like checking the story, I'm checking like, look at the light in her face. Probably that light is hiding in the back, you know, directing to this and that, and they put a filter because it's soft that you can see in the skin. Like, you know, it's like, dude.
So you're like dissecting like way below the surface. And
but
like,
it's like, no, I want like my fast food. I just want to get entertained.
Don't want to like pull it apart. It's like Gordon Ramsay eating at McDonald's.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, it's like, no, I want to be the, you know, the guy that just watch movies and it was fun.
Yeah, and just turn off.
Yeah.
For me, one of the things was I wanted a bigger payoff with the monster. Mm. I felt like it was still scary in its own right, but we didn't even get it until
never
the last.
Had any threatening.
Right. The biggest threatening thing it did was in the beginning when it found Will.
And with that girl, Barbara.
And then that's it. And then halfway through with Barbara, and you don't even really get to see Cece.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah.
And you only really get to see the monster in the light in the last episode, which is fine, but I never felt like it was really menacing under the surface.
They try to make it menacing, and then the way they get rid of it is like, I guess it wasn't that threat.
Right, yeah. To me, I guess the real monsters would be the people in charge of the facility is what they were really hinting at. Like, these are the real monsters, which is fine. But I mean, as far as like the kids and what was happening there, I would have rather have seen the monster be the biggest antagonist. And then only at the end do you see the scientists and this laboratory, and you spend like the end episode, like getting all those facts that set up for season two. Whereas I felt like it was switched. We got the scientist all season long and then only the peppered monster stuff.
Maybe that's the tip of the iceberg.
Right. Cause I mean, I haven't seen any of season two. Hugo's watched all of it.
I'm not going to say anything.
I know. So I'm assuming there are more monsters locked up around everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, even if you didn't watch season two, you can tell the way it's laid out. It's they're just showing a little piece of what's going on.
And for those of you that have seen the trailer,
I mean, if you didn't watch season one, sorry for spoilers, but
yeah,
get out of here. Like, it's been a year and it's been one of the most popular shows ever.
Right, yeah. And if you're not on the train yet, I mean,
this
literally,
is a good time. Yeah.
Literally, we've spoiled nothing.
No.
Like, really, the whole show surrounds these kids and their journey, and we haven't even talked about that. We've just talked about nostalgia and the monster.
Yeah, this is just like the first layer of things of the show.
Exactly. So again, I think for season two, my expectations were we get more information on this company.
Yeah.
More on Will, because he was in the world of Upside Down for so long, and what kind of effects.
The last season is with him.
Yeah.
In the bathroom.
Yeah.
Spitting like a worm or something.
Yeah. Like he coughed it and like you don't even get anything. And then you still get the hints that Eleven is out there with her Eggos and eating it. Eggos. And that was it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's how it ends. So I assume that we're going to get a payoff on those. And then from the trailers, it just looks like a giant sky beast, which that is way more menacing to me and frightening than the mouth
looks
monster.
Like an alien.
Yeah. And so that to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
again, not spoiler, but like, hey, go check out a past episode, yeah, which we did, where we talked about freaking Halloween and just or just scary movies.
Yeah.
Hugo talked about like vampires, and I got to talk about aliens. I think it's called Vampire Style.
Yeah,
go check us out. It's awesome. It's a real fun one. Yeah. But aliens freak me out, and it's something menacing, like where whatever's out there turns the sky a different color, and it's just a shadow. That's a big nope for me. Like, you want me to just freeze up? I'm usually like, I'll spring into action when shit goes down. I will freeze. That's nightmare fuel is what that is for me.
Okay. Don't worry. Then I will be there, and I can get rid of the aliens.
You better.
It's fine.
You better, because it's horrific to me. So in that trailer.
Just that thought of somebody, not even an alien, just somebody else getting control of your body and your thoughts. That's scary.
That, you know what, to me, and that's the whole point of aliens. We're so far off topic. That's the whole point of aliens. I keep explaining it's still terrifying. The part that really terrifies is not what they look like or it's the presence of something that is so much bigger and greater than you, that has so much more control over the universe, that has come here, and you want to think that you have the power to stop this? So if something other being, some other human had the ability to control me and my thoughts, probably it's the same type like of fear. Same,
yeah.
Yeah. It just manifests in aliens because aliens are the next step up from humans that can, you know, shoot me.
So far. We were confirmed that in a couple of years. Ba-boo. Hopefully not. So Chris can sleep at night.
Yeah, just give me a few more years before you drop that truth bomb on me, universe.
What was your favorite storyline in the first season?
From
the characters.
I actually really liked... I wanted more Eleven.
Mm.
I enjoyed Eleven's little, I guess, her journey from being kind of like mute and learning to trust people, and then the kids.
Yeah.
That was really good for me.
I mean, a lot of people go towards the kids because those are the main storyline. But
if I had to pick one of the more adult storylines, I mean, all you have to pick from is the mom and then the cop.
I mean, there are other families, but they don't have that much screen time.
Right. If anybody, the ones that I enjoyed the most were actually the older brother and sister.
Older brother and sister.
So it's like Will's older brother.
Oh, yeah. The freak guy.
Yeah. Well, I actually really enjoyed every time he was on screen and the chemistry he kind of had with the girl. Even though the girl was kind of like whiny and bitchy and two-sided, I enjoyed them. I really did. I really did. And I kind of wanted more.
You say that it's like a crush, that girl, for you?
To me, she's a little... I like the chemistry they had.
Okay.
I like it when two characters...
But I mean, you feel attracted to the girl? You personally? Nah?
Not really.
Okay. I just want to...
No, yeah. You just wanted to push that one, didn't you?
No.
To me, I don't know. Right. To me, I liked the two of them. Yeah. Usually, it's really tough when you see like teenage actors, and you see even kid actors. It'll really grind you down. I never got that feeling from any of the younger kids, but the teenagers too. I mean, how easy was it for them to film actors and actresses where it could have been like, you know, fuck this actor, fuck that person, like I don't want to see you again. I enjoyed both of them. They played their parts well, but I enjoyed the budding relationship out of the two of them. By the end, I knew that both of them kind of trusted each other, even though they were at opposite ends of their social spectrums.
Yeah, and you like it at the end they didn't
get together? I really did.
Okay.
I really did, because I felt like they, even though they got off to a great start, they could do more. I felt like if they got together, they would be skipping a giant part of the struggles of high school, where we did go through this trauma together, and we do have these feelings towards each other, but we both are acknowledging that there's nothing really there.
Totally.
Yeah, so to me, I enjoyed it. Yeah, that was my favorite. Like,
a little bit off topic. It's so sad that actor, the big brother, I think recently he got caught on the LA airport with some... tracks of cocaine in his luggage.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said he was kicked back to UK.
So,
but it wouldn't be strange, you know, in that world.
To me, he looks like he did drugs.
Yeah, like even some feature on his face, like he looks like actually not trying to brag about our section, but he looked like a junkie.
Yeah, he did. And that was the hard part. And I always thought that they were going to bring that out in the series because I didn't know if that was an artistic choice that they kept making for him.
It was something in it.
But he looked like he was a little sickly, but I just attributed it to like the mom was kind of negligent but doing her best and they didn't have enough food.
Kind of like feed the character too.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't out of the norm, but I mean, holy shit, that's part of his real persona. Like, damn it.
He recently, like, these days, I read something about it.
Poor
he
guy.
He was actually going to the premiere in LA for the series. And then, like,
and then he got caught.
You're getting back to UK, buddy.
Well, I mean, I pray and I hope it's and like, send all the
roll,
thoughts.
Rock and roll, guys. Rock and roll. No. If you're a kid and you shouldn't be listening to this, don't do drugs, please.
Yeah, so,
don't
you know,
do it.
Thoughts to the universe and prayers and everything just out to him. I hope he gets help. I really do.
Yeah, that's what my hope is. Like, you know, isn't that weird in that world?
Because I think he's an amazing actor for the series.
He was pretty natural.
Yeah.
And that's a quality that's hard to find actors.
Mm. That's the other thing I want to say about the series is I enjoy that I recognize none of the actors except for Winona Ryder.
And that's where I want to go for it because for me... one of the storylines they liked more was the Winona Ryder. No, not because the character, just the acting. It was really great. After all the issues that she had and was, you know, banned from Hollywood or whatever, I was glad to see her back on a role like that where, I mean, she looks great. She looks beautiful and whatever, but it's not that typical. I mean, she looks like a mom. She looks like a mom, you know, a single mom, you know, with all the stress that brings.
I was going to say, I'm like, out of all the actors on this show, she's the one that they're like, she just showed up for work. They tussled her hair, got like, they threw on no makeup and they're like, just go.
Yeah, I know.
This is the single mom look in the 80s.
But she make it believable.
She did. She really did, making it worry about her kid. Very few, I guess, actresses... or even actors, when you have to pretend about like a kid. And that's why so many people don't want to put kids in scripts or screenplays because it's so hard to have that emotion. But she brought it to the table. She was really worried about Will, who wasn't even on screen with her at all. I felt like that was her kid. Yeah.
Like I honestly, it's like, oh my God, I can see, like, if I have an issue with my kid or I lost my kid, I will start losing my mind and acting like dad, actually. Yeah. Like, it's relatable.
So 2 points, a testament for the writing and testament for Winona Ryder and Winona Ryder's acting chops because you kind of forget that she had that ability to act. Because what was the last thing she was in?
Her, like, stealing clothes in the store. She got, like, really...
Socks of all things.
She got really bad press. I think she went into depression. That's what she did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but...
I mean, Hollywood's tough.
Oh, yeah.
You're on top 1 minute, and then you make two bad movies, and then you're out. That's it. Nobody wants anything to do with you, and you feel, like, worthless. You go from feeling like the whole world wants you to nobody does.
Yeah, and I feel like it was the right move for her. She could easily push some favors and maybe get a major role in the movie, but actually this is more rewarding probably for her.
I feel like very few people get that opportunity. They get a lot of, not very few people. I feel like lots of people get opportunities for comebacks, but they don't want to admit when they should be cautious instead of like bullheaded. So you look at even like, what's his name? John Goodman.
Right.
And when he started coming back into his career, and I think the one he did was The Artist.
Yeah.
And that was that black and white film with the French actor, but he did really well in that. And then ever since then, he's not like the leading actor, but he's taking roles that are really strong for him to kind of show off his talent. And he's like kind of stepped back into like, hey, I'm not out.
Right.
I'm just not a leading actor anymore.
Yeah.
You kind of like realize a role. And I think that's what she's doing here is that she's realizing she's no longer a leading lady.
Yeah.
But she's still a damn fine actress.
And that's one of those things. I mean, it went great with the show, but it could easily go bad. And just make an even worse mark on her career.
Yeah.
So taking risks, just like Will Smith. Who would have thought that he would like, because I heard he's a little bit of a diva.
Oh, he's a big diva.
So, you know, the fact that he's going to Netflix for a movie that is not going really to theaters. It's just like we come back again to what a series like Stranger Things bring to a service like Netflix. Open up so many doors.
Well,
like, that's the reason now Will Smith probably want to jump. Hey, you know, Winona's there. These other actors are there.
Right.
This is the place to be. Slowly is becoming the place to be
to now, at least yeah, to take a big leap and yeah. to do something that major like studios don't want to take the risk on, you get the opportunity to maybe do a passion project that you've been really good about. I mean, even when you look at this past award season, Master of None won an award for their Thanksgiving episode.
That thing is so great.
I mean, we recently finished it on. I mean, I love that series now.
Yeah. It's just a really high-quality comedy.
High-quality comedy and situational and relatable things that's happening now. If you're within anywhere between your 20s and, I want to say, mid-30s, this show is going to ring so many bells that you're going to be like, this is awesome. And if, I mean, if you're out of that age demographic, you won't like the show. But some of the topics that they hit on are those generational gaps. Like when he has a conversation with his dad.
Yeah, it's like day-to-day.
Yeah, it's mundane humor. It's mundane relatableness. And I think Netflix has that freedom and to just say, dad, like, go for it.
And the data, because I know I'm pretty much, they create or they greenlight that. Let's see our demographic.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's 20 to 35 year olds.
Let's do it.
You guys get the green light.
That's the thing with Netflix and these shows. But anyways, let's
come back to Stranger Things.
So what are you? I mean, it's not gonna be fair because again, I watch a lot of episodes. But for you, where you think the storyline is gonna go, and what you really want to happen, either broad idea or something really concrete.
And that's the thing. I mean, Stranger Things was built on the concept of being self-contained with hints of, like, extra. So as far as, like, laying down the field work, I mean, I don't know, but laying down the field work of future stuff, I mean, it was very, very light. Like, I assume we're going to learn more about the scientists and that whole facility, what they're trying to study. I want to know what the real purpose of Eleven is. I'm hoping that Will can somehow figure out what the hell is wrong with him. Or at least we need to address the psychological trauma that he's still probably going through. But as far as like where I think the second season is going to go, I can't definitively give you an answer because you could even show me like the trailer for season one and I never would have come up with the plot line for like season one.
Yeah.
So I can't, even seeing the trailer for season two, you know something will happen with X, Y, and Z.
So vague.
It's so vague and it's so like, it'll keep you guessing. Like Hugo said, the show's designed for you to watch one after the other after the other because you can't put it together quite yet. So I don't know. My big hope is that the monster this season is more around.
Yeah.
And it's less of a tease. Like it's like in the distance and like just menacing versus like actually terrifying. I would like season two to step up its horror game, like to where I'm legitimately afraid, versus like this is a great little series with like some aspects of like, ooh, jump scare.
Yeah.
I would rather like even having three or four runs of episodes just be absolutely terrifying to where I'm like, I need to watch the next one with the light on.
Yeah,
like that was a little much. That's my hope for season two. I don't know if it's gonna go that way, but I mean,
No comments.
Damn it. I mean, to me too, the monster this season is way more terrifying to me. So
it looks a little bit more menacing.
You can't even describe it. It just looks like a giant thing in the sky. It looks like a giant like spider hand in the sky.
It reminds me a little bit of that of the War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like the little tripod machines that they have. But this one has like many fingers and it's like out there. Fuck it all.
Ew. It's just going through your ear to your brain.
Yep, down to my spine.
I can see.
I don't like thinking about it.
Skin like just
Yep.
Why you think is the future of series like this one? I mean, I don't think it's a right move. I was thinking about that, about this the other day. It's like maybe they can do more of this kind of series in that line, but I think the success of this series is too big that any attempt to even, you know, have a different plot line but have the same elements will work really well. You know?
Yeah.
I think they try with another series called the AO or something where old girl, but it was kind of like the same line, this girl has powers, blah blah, and didn't really engage with people.
Mm-mm.
Same thing. It's like, oh, it's a ripoff of Stranger Things.
Yeah, the girl had powers, but I think the problem was where Stranger Things had a niche and it had a draw to bring people in, where they're like, oh my gosh, it's set in the 80s and it's like you could see all these little 80 tropes. That's what drew your interest, and then you stayed for the story. I'm sure if even half of the people that watched Stranger Things watched the AO, they would have been equally like invested, but there was nothing. Because I've seen the preview for AO. I have no idea what happens there other than the fact that the girl has no memory. And like you there's nothing in there, and it's so bland. And if I look at the color palette, it's white with like blues and purples. There's nothing that stands out. It's very bland. That's what stuck in my mind, that it's bland. I'm sure it's an amazing series.
Yeah,
but there's nothing in there with all my other choices of things.
Yeah.
I'm not. Why take a risk on that?
You hear Netflix? Just cancel. Actually, it's been canceled some shows that didn't work.
I'm surprised they canceled Sense8.
That was the Wachowski series.
Yeah. Right? That one did really
I watched
well.
Like two episodes.
Yeah.
Supposedly didn't do that great, but a lot of people keep recommending me that.
Everybody I know that has a Netflix within our friend circle keeps recommending Sense8.
Yeah.
And then like to hear the outrage of all my friends on Facebook when they announced that it was canceled, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What? I thought everybody liked this. No, this is not something. Maybe this is just a small population of people.
We're the weird ones.
Yeah. So
But there have been a few
failed attempts.
Do you think the second season, if it's not successful, they will cancel? That's a tough one.
I'm actually really interested to see the numbers when we reach a week to see how many people viewed it, whether or not the season is a success on over a whole. If everybody came in droves to see it, they're going to make a third season, depending on how it ends. I'm sure they already are laying, I don't know, you would probably know more than I do if they're laying groundwork for third season.
Based on the first one,
you only got that hint at the very end.
You don't need to watch the second season to know that it's pure gold right there. They just need to be smart how they laid out. Because it's kind of like the Marvel movies, like with Guardian of the Galaxy. They didn't approve the second one, and then they wait. The third one, they were already in work, progress. They didn't thought it, like, second thought. It's like, this is a hit.
Let's green light the next two,
Yeah, whatever.
I think they'll still make a third one. I think that it has enough of a following. It's not like just a mildly successful show like Masters of None. I think it's one of their like out of the ballpark shows, especially being released in the fall.
Is there Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it really is. It really is, because no, like,
they're Walking Dead. You know?
Other than the Marvel shows, there's no other like regular programming that they have other than House of Cards, which is a more adult demographic.
Yeah,
this one hits a sweet spot where kids, teens, and adults all watch it. Whereas Marvel, it only hits those comic book fans and maybe some kids.
Yeah.
Or House of Cards is just solely adults, maybe some teens.
Some this weird is that guy like spot. Me that likes, you know, crazy people. but
this one it spans the gamut. So there's way too many people watching it for them to cancel. I think we're going to get a third season for
sure. At least a third, even if this one
hope that they just have a plan. My big concern is this is a show that's built on mystery. You better have a plan for how this ends. That's my stipulation, because if I have to sit here and really buy into all of this, like waiting year after year after year after year for
nothing,
this, for something that's very lackadaisical or just haphazardly put together at the end, that's where I'm going to get upset. You better already have a plan for how this ends, what the end game is, and how many seasons that's going to take.
You hear that, Netflix? You hear that, Duff Brothers?
I just do. I don't want this to be drawn out to seven seasons. These are my demands. Otherwise, I will continue to pay for Netflix because I'm not canceling because of you.
Yeah, but I think it's going really interesting. Where is going Netflix with the shows? If I need to add more to the success of this thing, it's just, I guess it's one of those things that nobody was seeing coming, but it will happen. Like, it was meant to happen.
Yeah.
Because these guys, so if you know, the Duff Brothers are the creators. They've been waiting a long time, I guess, for a chance to direct and, you know, come to life his project. They were rejected for, I think, It.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were in the, like, a few directors considered to direct, get in charge of the new It movie. They were rejected for so many studios for this Stranger Things story. Like, so many studios. They just, nope. get out of here.
Nobody wants to take that risk.
And it's like, you know, that's the reason Netflix is suddenly taking more relevance. It's like, okay, you guys don't want supposedly the trash. Just bring it to me. I'm going to make him pure gold.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. So shout outs to the Duff brothers, because in an industry so tough like Hollywood, it's so nice to have these like little a little bit of air fresh that you can breathe.
Because at the time, there wasn't anything like that on TV, on any kind of like shows. Like no 80s show even had something like that.
I'm pretty sure also even I can almost assure you almost that some movie like It after Stranger Things, like, yeah, sure. Go.
Oh, yeah.
Stop rushing to take off the shirt out because we need, you know, we need some money back.
Start making everything.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean,
like, just looking at It, Blade Runner, all these franchises come back.
Right. They come back to the forefront when
they were
just
in the freezer for like a lot of years.
They were just waiting for the right time, and then they let somebody else strike, and then they're like, hey, cool, we're ready. Yeah.
Go.
Oh, my gosh. No. So I agree. I agree that Netflix is definitely trailblazing in that regard. I kind of hope that it wakes up a lot of the bigger studios to maybe take those risks. I know they have their independent like film houses or production companies, but like just
take more risk.
Stop looking at data papers all the time or like boardroom meetings where you have executives making those decisions.
Right. Because that's the other thing. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no.
No, you're saying that they have all these data, right? But the thing with Netflix is they know how to use the data. It's not just numbers.
It's not just a survey either. It's
like, all right, how long
did you watch this?
We're going to give you a political show with Kevin Spacey, but we're going to do it damn right and damn good.
Right, right, right. It's one thing to take the data, and it's another thing to use it in good practice. And I feel like I agree with you. They put it in capable hands. They hire real talent. But again, I think it's they hire people that are passionate, not just people who have been proven to make big bucks. They hire people that are like the Duff brothers, who are really, really into what they're doing and believe in what they're doing because they know that translates into like good TV.
It's like David Fincher. He always have trouble to greenlight his job, his work, because you know he's a guy that nobody's gonna tell him how to do his movie or his project. So the bold step of Netflix, like, come with us, dude. You know, we have House of Cards. You're going to take in charge of all that. He's the director of that series I told you earlier, Mindhunters.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure they greenlight that one after. There was another show that you and Caroline tell me, the tape something.
Oh, the confession tapes.
I'm pretty sure that thing was successful. And like, okay, people is interested in serial killers. Let's make a show with serial killers. And who's the better guy to do this? David Fincher, you know?
Because it looks amazing. The Mindhunter, when I'm watching it, like the previews and stuff, I was like, holy crap.
Okay, let's jump actually to recommendation. Because
what's your recommendation, Hugo?
You know, can you guess, people? No, it's that one. I mean, it's been a long time, so I was excited for a show or a movie.
Dang.
I saw some previews, like, all right. As soon as it's directed at David Fincher, okay, boom. I'm going to start right now.
Play.
Yeah, and this guy understands. I mean, he's direct Seven, Zodiac.
So he knows his stuff. He knows how to create tension without...
He likes the type of stories. Gone Girl was...
Oh, dang. So he's got a lot
under his belt. House of Cards. He directed a few first episodes. What else? Fight Club. This guy is... I feel like he's not valued as much in Hollywood as he should. The Social Network, even some topic like that, he make this amazing movie out of a guy that just invented Facebook. And make it interesting, you know.
Because we all know that Mark Zuckerberg isn't exactly the world's most interesting person.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he knows his deal. The first episode, I have chills already just watching the first episode.
Dang.
Because the way they introduce these... I mean, really, it's not a secret. I mean, if you read the synopsis, it's just these two FBI guys. It's kind of like the story... I don't know if it's based on real life, but it's the story of how all these terms start. Term of serial killer and stuff like that start being created. So these two guys go to jails to interview with like serial killers at the time, supposedly
a la Silence of the Lambs, kind of like just figuring out how their minds
but
work.
But it's like these guys, at least one, I think, is in the trailer. It's like this big guy, kind of chubby with glasses. Like the way he's talking, like, oh my God, this dude is like crazy. Like for real, like this, he's acting so good that even I have some chills during watching that first episode. So that's a really great one. It's another one that I think is going to take more time than Stranger Things to get the attention they need. But I feel...
But again, yeah, the audience...
People is
going to
start talking about it a lot.
Right, because you can always tell what Netflix is valuing based on when you load up the app.
Yeah.
I mean, at least for... I mean, I don't know how it is for computer users. Like, yeah, I kind of forget that there are people that use it like only on their laptops. I forget how Netflix is really set up for you all, because I use it on my Xbox app or like my smart TV and stuff, and it plays the same where whatever you're hovering over, it plays like a preview of it. Or if Netflix is ever pushing something, right when you log onto the screen, it'll immediately start playing something like Pat Oswalt. His stand-up comedy is up there now.
Right.
But when Mindhunters came up, that was playing up there for like 2 weeks straight.
Yeah,
and really it caught my attention just from the trailer that would play. Yeah. And it's like a minute and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
But even getting the 3 seconds it took me to grab my controller and try to scoot down.
You're already like, huh?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, what's
Let
happening
here?
Let
me put it on my list.
Yeah. And it's immediately like, add to my list. Exactly.
I think, you and Carolyn are going to love it. If you like that other show, The Conspiracy Tapes or whatever.
Yeah, The Confession Tapes.
You're going to love this one.
Dang.
So,
all right, I'm excited now.
No, it's, and the acting is fabulous. It's graphical, so if you're listening and you're sensitive about gory things,
That's a good warning.
Just avoid it, or like if you've seen, it's really clear when something like
that's coming. Just mentally brace yourself for what's coming up.
Skip it. It's not like you're going to miss much not seeing the body, really. You can't even, with that guy telling you, like, it's just like, it's like, I don't know if I was one of those guys supposedly to go in there to interview these guys, I think I couldn't do it.
Man.
Because it's so really freaking crazy. Like, they look lunatic. I mean, they're obviously
crazy in there for a reason.
But you can't believe, like, it takes a lot of skills for an actor to be that good.
Right, to emote that sort of range when it comes to insanity.
So what's your script?
Oh my gosh. So I recently, because of Halloween, I'll give us a little Halloween flair. I saw Halloween for the first time.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've never seen
it,
man.
Never seen
it? No.
Really?
No, I mean, remember, my upbringing, my parents, very, very...
I forget about it.
Like, you can't watch certain things. I mean, remember, I only had half an hour.
Me, I was like, with a blanket, like, oh, my God.
I've always known about it, and I know what the premise was, but again, I've never seen it. So I've never seen Scream,
The first one, right?
Yeah. Okay. The one with Jamie Lee Curtis and...
Yeah.
And Michael Myers.
Yes.
Now, I've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street. I've never seen any of these really big classic movies. I know about them. I know what happens in them. Yeah. I'm not completely under a rock. But it's just like I've never really valued going back and watching it. So, because when I was that age too, they were coming out with all those remakes like Halloween H2O or Freddy vs. Jason. And you're just kind of like,
That's like a joke.
even in my head as a kid, I was like, that seems stupid.
Yeah.
Like all of this is stupid.
Yes.
So... when I just sat down for the first time to watch it, I can honestly say it was so much fun just kind of poking fun at this genre. But it fits in right with the Stranger Things. Like everything that was shown, the way that the shots were set up, the way that people were dressed, how they acted was very, very Stranger Things. Like, but this was something that took place actually in the 80s.
Yeah. I think that was the thing. People forget these movies were almost... It was pretty much...
Oh, excuse me, it was the 60s is when it was set in.
B-series movies, really. They weren't really... I mean, they went to some theaters and stuff that it was shown, but the approach was kind of like B-series movies. I mean, that was I think that was the third movie, a John Carpenter movie or something, Halloween.
I mean, the way that even the titles were set up, it was like that Halloween, like it was a jack-o'-lantern and then it like panned in closer and closer and closer and then it just transitioned to Halloween. Like, not even like... And you expect that the movie would explain what that is, like why it was called Halloween? Nothing.
Yeah, no.
Nothing. Like I went in there thinking that somehow I'm going to get this epiphany. It's basically what your general thoughts are on the movie, which is the guy, Michael Myers, wants to kill this person for no reason other than in the movie, other than the fact that it's a girl and like these are promiscuous people, like I'm just gonna kill all of them.
It was just like a excuse for kind of like a representation of what it was meant to be, a teenager on a Halloween night, sort of.
Yeah, just if you misbehave, you're going to kill. Yeah. Yeah, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be
Friday
doing.
Because Friday 13 was kind of like the same plot kind of thing. It was like this guy in a, what's it called? Like
hockey mask?
Yeah, but it was like in a camp with a bunch of teenagers being crazy, and then suddenly this guy...
It murders them all started. For... Yeah, no, so... And Kiss. Then... What was funny, though, to me, one of my favorite parts of Halloween was when every time Michael Myers was hit with something, he would just lay down. Like, she stabbed him in the neck with, like, a pair of, like, knitting, like, croquet things. And he got him, like, right in the neck, and he pulls it out, and then immediately, like, flops to the floor, like, Badoo. And then she gets up and runs, gets the kids. And all of a sudden, like, he gets up. Like, he just was like, oh, I got hit. Oh, I need to take a power nap. Ready.
Yeah.
And he gets shot. In the chest twice, hits the ground. She gets up, tries to get some stuff. He's laying on the ground, and then he's like, nap time's over. Stands up. Homeboy shoots him 6 times. He falls out of a window onto the grass, and everybody's like, oh, he's dead. And you look back, and he's gone. Yeah. Yeah, like he just needs 20 seconds on the floor, and then he's good to go again.
So now, you just count your time really well. You're fine.
To me, it was so funny because he's not, it's not like somebody said a chant.
Yeah.
To give him immortality. It's not like he was buried in a, you know, a
so
pet cemetery.
So far, they don't explain it in the movie at all. So.
Yeah. So to me, it was just so funny to think that this was like a cult thing that people latched onto this and was like, this is it. The one thing I will say about the movie that stood head and shoulders above everything else was the score.
Yeah.
The music and even just that opening riff, that da na 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 na. Like, it's still around today.
Do you think... Oh, by the way, obviously, if I watch it today, I would think it's like, really, dude, you were scared about this? But if you have the chance to see it when you're a kid, you think it will be more impactful or like more scarier?
I think the suspense part as a kid would have killed me, like knowing that he was around or seeing the silhouette. Yeah. That would have scared me. I don't think in my kid head I would have realized that, like... Yeah. This is an unstoppable force, like a tidal wave that Michael Myers just cannot be stopped. Like, I just would have been like, no, he got stabbed in the neck. He would have died. No, he was shot several times. Yeah. He would have died.
Yeah, I think I always thought as a kid that Michael Myers was the most approachable of all these other movies.
Well, because he's a real person with just like a weird mask and breathes really
so
heavily through it.
Wasn't as bad. Like, I would get a little bit scared, but it was more like, oh, guns, oh, you know, bullets and blood, and it was kind of cool and kind of scary.
Yeah. Whereas you take like a what is his name, Freddy from Friday the 13th.
That where, guy goes into your dreams. Right. Like, that's more creepy.
There's a difference there. At least with Michael Myers, if you lock a door, you barricade it pretty well. He can't get in. Like you just have to be smart. With Freddy, you were like, okay, you could get away from him, but the second you fall asleep, he's gonna kill you there.
It's more like a entity than. A human being.
And so I think, again, that alien argument where it's like something bigger than you, where you can't control it, that's what makes it really terrifying versus another human just in a... They never even explain why he has the mask or why he's just watching people.
No,
and I thought
the
whole opening, too, where he kills, like, his sister. Yeah. I think it's his sister. They never really talk about it, but she's like,
I mean, now
Michael! And then he, like, stabs her a bunch with, like, a little clown arm, and I'm like, what is happening? Yeah.
I think even you can notice it's, like, a bigger hand, like a... full grown man and stabbing, then suddenly it's a kid like, wait a minute.
It was so weird. Oh my God, Hugo. But I do recommend it, like,
just fun.
Just for posterity's sake and getting in this. I would say, like, your teenagers are fine to watch it, other than if you don't mind, like, tasteful side boob in the beginning before he murders his sister. I mean, everything else is there is other boobs, but one of my other funny parts, standout moment, is when there was this couple.
Oh, yeah.
And, the guy with the glasses. And, like, Michael Myers, like, stabs him to the wall but with nothing, like, but it was like a butcher knife. But, like, doesn't even do it hard, just like, gah, as he, like, holds him up the wall. Now, physics and gravity tell me that knife would just rip that kid, like, in half or at least leave a bigger hole in him as gravity's pulling him down.
Yeah,
nope, the kid sticks right there. This is an anti-gravity knife. It just goes, gah, and the kid just stays nailed to the wall. Blew my goddamn mind. I was laughing
like
so
to
hard.
Have fun, really.
It was so much fun watching it, even for the first time, and even with people who had seen it before. It's like that It's that weird niche of movie. I think it, what's the term, like trash movies, where it's made with the best budget, production, serious, or skill.
Yeah, B-series movies, yeah.
Oh, it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it's I think that's part of the cult following. It's just like, it's hilarious and ridiculous.
My question is, why make more?
Because cult classic is almost like a franchise. It's money making. I would come back to nostalgia and all this stuff.
Look at cult classics like Blade Runner. I mean, look how many years it took to make a sequel versus look at all the Halloween sequels we have, or the Friday the 13th.
You can't underestimate B-series people following. It's so big. I mean, it's not, we don't see it because those ones don't go to the movie theater, but something like Sharknado, it's a lot of people
who just enjoy the crap out of it. But no, that's my recommendation, especially for this Halloween series. It was a lot of fun to watch.
It's like, get some cocoa and donut and watch some Halloween.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was real fun, especially around this time of year.
That's funny. I sometimes forget. It's just of all movies that I could thought, because when you say like, oh, my recommendation, it's a movie that I was trying to, you know, as soon as you mentioned Halloween, like what possible can, you know, be interesting for Chris at this point? I mean, I don't see you like, I don't know if you like the Saw movies or something.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know what movie's going to come up. And it's funny you mentioned Halloween. It's fun.
The actual Halloween movie. Actually, Halloween. I have so many questions.
Go also see, if you're already there and you're doing like a Halloween marathon, yeah, probably Halloween, Friday the 13th.
What are the Jason movies called?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, and Nightmare on Elm Street is Freddy Krueger.
That
Cougar.
One probably is going to be the most scary of all of them. Chucky. Almost all those are kind of around the same time. I forget. It's another one. It's so awful. It's like this, the Leprechaun.
The Leprechaun movies. Oh, my God.
You know, it's just, there's so much.
The only reason I've seen some of those is because my cousins.
It was, I always remember the scene when he go in the puggy pap or whatever. And start caving the hole.
You're right. They're all this weird, like monster-esque type of movies that are just really poorly made. Yeah. But people love the crap out of them.
Like, I heard it was in plans, a Leprechaun reboot. Hopefully not, dear God. Like, we have enough of all these reboots. So.
That's not something we need right now. Put your money somewhere else.
Keep it in the grave, please.
Right, let the series die.
Like, they can do, I don't know, the Leprechaun with Diego Luna. He can be the Leprechaun.
Little what? How do you say leprechaun in Spanish?
It will be, I think, el duende.
El duende?
No, that's the green. Yeah, probably. I don't know. I think that, yeah.
Coming this fall, el duende.
Good night. And just Diego Luna running with it. Instead of like, you will float, you good jump, you will jump.
My God, that would be horrible.
I mean, he was in Flatliners, which I hear that's a real bad movie.
And the remake one, right? With Ellen Page. And
I mean, I saw the trailer like, yeah, nope, I'm not watching this at all.
Second Diego Luna's face came up, you're like, nope.
Like, I mean, with all respect to Diego Luna, I don't see him as a doctor. You know?
No, I don't. God, you're right, because there are those... We'll have to do a whole episode on bad casting. Like, do you ever remember the James Bond flick? I don't remember which one it was. I think it's like The World Is Not Enough. Or Die Another Day. I don't know. But it was... who's Charlie Sheen's wife? Denise Richards was the Bond, quote-unquote Bond girl. Her name was something Christmas.
Yeah.
And she played a scientist. And even as a kid, I'm like...
No, I'm not buying that.
Not that pretty people can't be scientists.
Right,
but Denise Richard, even in my head, like I recognize her from some films and I'm like, you're about as smart as a rock.
Yeah, and then a lot of contradiction of her character actions.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're supposed to be some huge physicist and scientist and then you are just, yeah, you have no common sense whatsoever and Bond has to come save you.
The funniest one is when she then went to do... It was, what's the name of that Mike Myers character? The other spy.
Oh, you're talking about Austin Powers?
Yeah, he went also to play in one of the Austin Powers movies, I think.
Who, James, the Pierce Brosnan? Or
no, the girl.
Denise Richards.
Yeah.
God, did she?
I think it's the second one or third one, I think. One before Golden Knight. I mean,
the Gold member. So it was The Spy Who Shagged Me.
I think so. But yeah, that was funny that after that she would just...
you get typecasted, but that's like an example of like terrible typecasting where it completely takes you. So Diego Luna, thank you for being our example this week on Flatliners and being a doctor. Not saying that you can't be a doctor, just but don't believe it.
Don't believe it, yeah. Actually, he was interviewing that show Charlie on Netflix, the girl.
Mm.
Or Chelsea.
Oh, Chelsea Lately,
she
started
throwing him some terms and, you know, doctor terms, and obviously he don't know, like...
I mean, what person would? I mean, most actors, if you're on a doctor show, like, stumble on all the lines.
I feel like he just did it for a favor or because he saw a couple series in the check.
Yeah, I mean, and he was just like, I could use some work. My Star Wars money's almost out.
I mean, he did Abandoned Nikes, you know?
But he also did Rogue One.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's like, it seems like he's...
I didn't even believe him in Havana Nights, that this small little Cuban boy could get the foreign girl.
By the way, that was how I started the joke with my wife, if she watched
Havana Nights.
A long time ago, Havana Nights.
Even in high school, I knew that kid was like scrawny, and I'm like, yeah, fuck this guy.
I can be the protagonist myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny, the movies he chose sometimes. It's like Havana Nights, probably because he wanted to break in an American... cinema, you know, an American audience. I mean, that one I can understand. And then he went to one of the movies with Tom Hanks, The Terminal or something like that.
Mm, yeah.
He was there. And then, you know, he could just go back and forth with bad movies and good movies.
Didn't you say, what movie was it in that, with his friend? Was that
Itu Diego Luna?
Yeah,
Itu Mama. That was way before then, these other movies. Yeah,
Itu Mama Tambien.
I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad actor, but sometimes his choices. Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, how much is him and how much is the studio picking him? Like there are two sides to blame here.
I'm pretty sure now the studios want him a lot more just because that Latin market, but whatever. Whatever, Diego Luna, whatever you do, please choose bad or good. Don't do the Leprechaun. El Duende, please. We don't want a Duende right now. We don't need it.
It's not the superhero movie you thought you needed.
No. I mean, no. All right, people, thank you for listening this week. We're getting closer to the 50. And in 2 weeks more, it's our anniversary.
Oh, it is.
We may talk about what we can do, something a little special. I mean, it's not the biggest deal. The 100 is going to be the biggest deal. 100. Maybe in the 100 we can do a meet and greet or something.
Meet and greet at a store where nobody comes, yeah. But it's basically just going to be a lunch for Hugo and I to exactly. Go out and eat sushi.
Yeah. That isn't bad. You guys, we don't care about you guys. As soon as you say sushi, like, I don't care about people coming. I didn't know it would be sushi. I'm in.
There you go, guys.
Maybe
Diego sushi.
Luna will be the only one.
I would laugh so hard. He goes, I bet you didn't think I was listening, huh?
Yeah.
100 episodes.
It's like with two big guys, like, you know.
We would have never felt so small in the world, being like, well, we're going to sit here and eat our shitty sushi while you tell us that you've been listening.
Now you're going to listen to me, motherfuckers. All right. It still will be epic.
Yeah.
I will still take a selfie after all the stuff that he needs to say to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. Hashtag what fuck you, Diego Luna. 100 episodes.
Put a dick in his head in Photoshop.
He's never going to want to meet us.
No. All right, guys. You know what will be hilarious? If one of your Comic Cons that saw you, like, hey, by the way, are you Chris from Garage Media Junkie?
Oh my God.
You, Reacher, take him to the room.
Oh my God.
I need to talk to him.
We got to rough him up a bit. Take away my badges.
All right. All right, guys. Keep listening to us. Keep, you know, talking to us. Go to Facebook, iTunes, you know, don't forget to review. We're avid to know what you think about this. I know there are listeners out there, at least.
Yeah. I mean, we can see when we download, but...
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, let us know what you guys think.
Don't be shy. Tell us topics. Tell us what you don't like. You want maybe a short episode. We can maybe work on that. We don't know yet, but don't get high hopes. But we will consider. So, adios, guys.
Bye.
Happy Halloween.